Hello, hello, and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us. I'm Amy Fuller. Glad you could be here on the U2 America TV network or on Biz Talk Radio. Either way, got a great show ahead for you. We are talking about that continuing border crisis and more every single day. We are hearing there is just too much for our Border Patrol to handle. We're going to talk to Dr. Paul Braun, who is also a former congressman out of Georgia, about all these things coming up. And also, he's with the Stand With Tucker Coalition, trying to guard our free speech. Dr. Michael Mantell will be here as well. He is the author of The Link Is What You Think, most recently, and also Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff. We're going to touch more on that college admissions scandal and the whole issue of helicopter parents and how far should we go to protect our children from life and what to do if parents don't agree on just what to do with our kids in that vein. So he's a really well-known and well-sought-after cognitive behavioral coach all around the world, and we're so glad we'll have him in today for America Trends. But back to that top story, you know, we keep hearing day after day, and what that means is it really is a huge emergency. Border Patrol agents again issuing an alert that the border is at its breaking point. They recorded over 3,700 arrests along the southwest border just Monday. 3,700. Those are just those that they caught. That's the most they've seen in a single day in over 10 years. The DHS secretary speaking out saying, make no mistake, our border crisis has gone from a national emergency to a near system-wide meltdown. We cannot handle this. Border Patrol says it's on pace to apprehend about 100,000 migrants just this month along the southwest border. And El Paso, just that small sector alone, has more than 13,400 migrants in custody. What to do with them? They say a crisis level of 6,000, 1,300 is unprecedented. You can see here, for those of you watching on U2 America, the social media posters are frustrated as well. Close the border. Do you think that word got back to Central America that over 100,000 undocumented aliens were released last month, and that's why more and more are coming? What are Congress and the Senate trying to do with this? And others saying close the borders now before it is too late. What happens to these people when the money they are being given runs out? They may steal from your house, just saying. The long and short of it is there's no money for this. We are at our breaking point, and we don't know who's coming from the next day to the next month to the next week. So the CPB commissioner is asking someone to pay attention. El Paso is overloaded, he says, and it's getting more and more dangerous. Listen closely to these amazing numbers he shares with us now.
2 weeks ago, I briefed the media and testified in Congress that our immigration system was at the breaking point. That breaking point has arrived this week at our border. CBP is facing an unprecedented humanitarian and border security crisis all along our southwest border, and nowhere has that crisis manifested more acutely than here in El Paso. On Monday and Tuesday, CBP started the day with over 12,000 migrants in our custody. As of this morning, that number was 13,400. A high number for us is 4,000. A crisis level is 6,000. 13,000 is unprecedented. On Monday, we saw the highest total of apprehensions and encounters in over a decade, with 4,000 migrants either apprehended or encountered at ports of entry in a single day. That was Monday. Yesterday, we broke the record again with 4,117. We are now on pace for over 100,000 apprehensions and encounters with migrants in March, with 90% of those, 90,000 people, crossing the border illegally between ports of entry. March will be the highest month since 2008. The arriving flows are made up primarily of Central American families and unaccompanied children, over 65% of them. These groups cannot be repatriated expeditiously, and instead are almost guaranteed to be released to remain in the U.S. indefinitely, regardless of the merits of their immigration or asylum claim. The last time we had crossings near this level, they were almost all single adults from Mexico.
We have have been talking about the continuing border crisis at the southern border and the tens of thousands coming in all the time. Could be a million this year. The mother of all caravans is forming up in Honduras, the Interior Secretary of Mexico says. This could be the biggest caravan ever heading to our southern border. And right now, the Supreme Court has overrided this Ninth Circuit Court, saying that President Trump could not do his asylum bid, where he wants people to stay in Mexico while they're trying to seek asylum. But nothing has happened yet. So what is happening right now is we are at the most, it could be the highest breaking point we've ever been at in the USA. Tonight, we are welcoming Congressman Paul Brown, former congressman out of Georgia, Dr. Paul Brown, who he represented the 10th District of Georgia in the U.S. Congress from 07 to 2015. General practice physician providing quality health care to his patients by doing house calls. How about that in Northeast Georgia? Also did his wonderful bit in the U.S. Marine Corps and the U.S. Navy, both of them. Afghanistan veteran and currently helping veterans in his beloved Georgia, a member of StandWithTucker.com. And Dr. Brown, welcome to America Trends.
Amy, it's glad to be with you. You're absolutely correct. We're being invaded from the South, and we've got to stop it. Those people who want open borders say this is not a crisis, and it's not a crisis for those who think that America should not be a sovereign nation, that we ought to just have no borders whatsoever. But it's an economic attack upon America. It's also an attack by people from the Mideast. We have people coming across the border who are not just coming here from South American and Central American countries, but people from Iran, from Pakistan, from Iraq, from Syria, from Saudi Arabia and other places like that, who I don't think are coming here to just get a better job. They're coming here to do harm to America. So we do have a crisis, and it must be stopped.
You're so right. There are so many elements to it, too, Dr. Brown. And I want to talk about your background here in a minute and why you chose to get into all this public service, because you already did your bit in the military, which is, we thank you for your service so very much. So you know firsthand what it's like to fight the enemy. And a lot of people say this is an enemy coming from within and sort of hoodwinking us. You've got the humanitarian crisis. You've got the criminal crisis of people that we're catching. We don't even know whom we're not catching. But the children alone, doctor, it's a conveyor belt. People are using these coyotes, as they're called, bring kids in, these unaccompanied minors, to try to get in. Then they get sent back, and then they use them all over again to come back again. It's a complete nightmare, and our laws are just ridiculous. This asylum thing, I know we want to have a good heart. We're America. We're a nation of immigrants. But at some point, we have to do our bit. And Donald Trump, he ran on this. But we're late in 20. We're in 2019 now. And this is some of the worst days we've ever seen as far as people coming over the border who are illegal, who are alien, who could very well be criminals and wish to do us harm. What do you say?
Right. Well, absolutely. You're correct. In fact, there are many people, as I mentioned earlier, that are coming from the Middle East. They're coming from countries that believe in Sharia law. They believe right. in killing what they consider are people who are not Muslims. They are coming here to do us harm. I was on the Homeland Security Committee when I was in the U.S. House, and we have a tremendous problem on the border. And until we stop the border crossings completely, build the wall, build the fence, whatever it takes, let's send the army down there and let's secure the border and keep these people from coming in. All that we're doing is inviting more and more and more of these invasions of people coming to this country. My wife speaks Spanish fluently, and she works in the medical community. Federal law requires for people in this country to have an interpreter if they are in the medical community or legal area. And she deals with these people all the time. They're not, the vast majority of them are not trying to assimilate. Just today, just right near my home here in Georgia, driving down a major highway, I go past a home. They don't have the American flag flying. They have the Mexican flag flying. They don't want to assimilate. They don't want to speak English. We need to make English the official language of this country. We've got to stop the birthright citizenship. That's not constitutional, by the way. We've got to stop this chain migration. We mm-hmm. have to start enforcing the laws that are on the books. And we've got to secure the border. And it's absolutely critical for the future of our nation.
This is some footage, or this is a picture from the San Diego sector near San Diego, Tijuana, from a few months back. One of the first migrant caravans came over. This looks like December, January. And, you know, they focused on this woman with her kids running from people from our side firing tear gas. But it was just one small thing. You see other people standing around, not really, you know, it was not any big tragedy. But what the mainstream media did was they focused on this and said, oh, the U.S. is so bad. But what has happened here is these caravans come over and they find out which sectors are most easily penetrated
right.
to come through there. And we find some. We don't find all of them. It was Dr. Brown, they were saying that we caught 1 in 2 illegals coming over the border. Now they're saying we're catching 1 in 3. And all these numbers, if we're on track this month to catch 100,000 illegals coming over our border, then that must mean 300,000 are coming through, 200,000 are getting through. We don't know who they are. We don't know what they want. We don't know what kind of will they have toward us. And these are just people that are finding out, you know, here's where it's easy to come in. So more and more migrants are coming in. The Mexican national newspaper is talking about a new caravan of 20,000 forming to come through. And I have to ask you, you were in the Congress from 07 to 15, and mm-hmm. President Trump ran on fixing this. Are they just trying to run through before he gets his policies in place, or could he be doing more? It seems like he's doing a lot, but frankly, this is more than an emergency.
Well, it is a tremendous national emergency, and it's just got to stop. And until we stop it, more and more people are going to continue to come. We've had four presidents, two Republican, George Herbert Walker Bush, George W. Bush, two Democrats, Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, who've not secured the border mm-hmm. in the law that was passed in 1986 under the Reagan administration, when there were about 2.5 to 3 million illegal aliens in this country given amnesty.
Yeah.
Part of that law says that we're going to secure the border, that we're going to prosecute people who hire, rent to, or harbor illegal aliens. And we've had four presidents now, two Republicans and two Democrats, who have absolutely refused to enforce those laws that are on the books.
Dr. Brown, you're right. They're kicking the can down the road. And I'm going to stop you just for a second because I want to get your full thoughts, but we have a hard break coming up. So we're going to come back and talk more about your Stand with Tucker coalition you're in and about the border and your experience. And we thank you so much for being here, Dr. Brown. We're back after this with you. I'm a sucker for you. You're back with America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller here on the YouTube America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. And we have Dr. Michael Mantel coming up talking a little bit about helicopter parenting. And right here, Dr. Paul Brown, former U.S. Congressman from Georgia. And he was on, get this, the Homeland Security Committee. He knows of what he speaks when we talk about this border crisis that's going on. And he is with the Stand with Tucker Coalition. Dr. Brown, welcome back.
Thank you, Amy. Let me make one final comment about the border, too. You talked it before the break about the pictures that appeared on Americans' televisions all across this country of the kids and the water cannons, the tear gas, et cetera. But what they're doing is they're forcing the kids forward. It's all for the news media to try to prick the hearts of American people so that we allow this to continue going on, and it just must stop. I've encouraged the president through some of his closest advisors to send the army down there. I think we need to secure the border today. We can't wait for a fence. We need to do it today. We need to stop people coming in this country right now. In fact, we needed to do it 10 years ago or even more. We needed to do it in 1990. But we can't go back and undo all that. We need to do it right now. And I applaud what President Trump is doing to try to secure the border. And the Democrats, as well as the globalist Republicans, the never Trumpers, are fighting the president to try to stop this, to try to help all these people to keep coming in this country. And it just must stop. And the American people need to demand of their elected representatives, their U.S. senators and their congressmen, tell them, if we don't secure the border, we're going to throw you out of office and get somebody in place that will secure the border.
So many of these lawmakers, and you almost hate to say lawmakers, wink, wink, because it just encourages them, right? So many of them, though, in the past have voted to secure our borders, but now they just don't want to give Trump a win. This is such an extreme emergency that I almost have to wonder. I know that back in October, November, we had one of the first few caravans coming up, and there was talk that maybe people were trying to get here and infiltrate that border before Trump really got his policies in place. But we have to think there are some other nefarious forces in place besides whatever Without Borders and maybe George Soros trying to get these caravans here. This is almost an invasion from within, and our own laws allow it. These asylum rulings that the U.S. Supreme Court just gave Trump a win last week. But how long before that takes effect? And do you think that there are some... I mean, these people aren't just coming on their own. They're being encouraged by some force, Dr. Brown.
And funded by some.
Right.
And I believe very firmly it's the globalists, the George Soros-type people and their groups that he funds, and other, the radical, liberal, progressive, communist, socialist, they're all the same, are promoting this because they believe in a one-world government. They don't believe in borders. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Republicans, just like both President Bush's, don't believe in borders and don't believe in American sovereignty. We've got to focus on America, make America great again, make America first again for the American people, and securing the borders is absolutely a dire emergency issue down there. So we must secure the borders, and I applaud what President Trump is doing, and I wish the Republicans would in the House and the U.S. Senate would support him even greater. But can we transfer to Stand With Tucker, because that's an important issue that I'm involved in, too.
Yeah, we've got to talk about that, because his free speech was sort of impinged upon a couple weeks ago because some media outlet just went back and went through, I don't know, 10 years of his talking points online. And he went on some shock jock radio show. I can't think of the name right now, but it's a really funny name. And they said, well, Tucker said this, that, and the other, and they tried to attack him because they are just trying to... They're trying to take these pot shots at Fox and change it from what it is, which is someone that will tell sort of both sides, and of course more of the conservative side than certainly the other outlets say. So what was sure. What was it? Bubba the Love? Was it Doctor? Was it Bubba the Love Sponge? Is that the name of it?
That sounds about right. But you're right. The thing is, they're trying to silence Tucker by getting to his the executives at Fox TV, as well as to get to the advertisers of the Tucker Carlson show. And we saw that with Rush Limbaugh back several years ago, where 10 people across the country generated millions of emails to the advertisers trying to shut up the conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh. Well, they're trying to do the same thing with Tucker Carlson. In fact, Antifa went to his house and threatened his family.
I remember that. His wife was there alone, and she hid in a closet. And we heard about this, and that's just it's as despicable as it gets, I think. That's his family.
Absolutely. Well, Tucker is a very unique, very insightful, very intelligent voice that tells the truth. And he actually takes the veil off how inane and how just idiotic the liberal policy is. But he attacks conservatives and Republicans alike as well when he disagrees with them. We need to continue to have his voice. And the only way we're going to do that is we've got to send an alternative message to Fox as well as to the advertisers. And that's what StandWithTucker.com is all about. I encourage all of our viewers and listeners today to go on the website, StandWithTucker.com, and sign the petition that we've got up there so that we can get a message of millions of people all across this country are going to continue to stand with Tucker and support him. So hopefully Fox News and Fox TV, as well as the advertisers of the Tucker Carlson show, will continue to stand with him. We cannot allow his voice to be silent. It's absolutely critical. And actually, the freedom of free speech stands in the balance as well. So StandWithTucker.com. Please sign the petition. Please help us in any way you can. If you can contribute so that we can get our message out to more people, call your senator, call your congressmen, tell them that Tucker Carlson must stay there, and get the congressman to call in Fox News, as well as Fox Studios, as well as the TV advertisers. I hope that we will see at least some Republicans in the Senate actually have a hearing on this to show how radical leftists are trying to stifle free speech and how they're trying to silence a very innovative, very important voice to all Americans. So all Americans should be standing with Tucker. So standwithtucker.com.
And we know full well these conservative websites, social media platforms do try to quench conservative voices. And what they are, this is nothing new with these conservative voices on Fox trying to be tethered. We have forces that tried to stop O'Reilly, Hannity, Jeanine Pirro. And as one of the forces behind StandWithTucker.com, Larry Ward, whom comes on here often, and we appreciate him, he calls them these liberal sleeper cells. Because behind the scenes, they pay for and get people to complain and try to get people like Tucker Carlson taken off the air. Right, Dr. Brown?
Absolutely. And Larry's absolutely correct. He's part of this StandWithTucker.com effort to make sure that Tucker Carlson will stay on TV in his time slot. But we're dependent upon the American people, your listeners, your viewers, to go on that website, StandWithTucker.com, sign the petition. I ask all of the listeners and viewers also to write a letter to Fox. Look at who is supporting the Tucker Carlson Show as an advertiser. Write to them. Email them. Demand that they continue to keep Tucker Carlson on TV, that they continue to support him. So ask the advertisers to stand with Tucker, just like we need the American citizens to stand with Tucker as well.
That's right. Dr. Brown, we have a hard break, but hope you come back soon at standwithtucker.com. Have you ever heard about how the Platinum Rule can result in unmatched communication? I haven't, but it's a new spectrum that Dr. Michael Mantel of The Link Is What You Think has come up with to help us with all our daily lives. He is also the author of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, P.S. It's All Small Stuff, and a few other books that we love to partake in. But also, he's very active online. You want to follow him. He's got this Mantel's Daily Five that will really make you think and stop and help you get through your day. One of the most sought-after professional behavioral coaches in all the world. And he's been very busy this week. Dr. Mantel, welcome back.
Good to be here,
so
as always.
So good to see you. And this is the book. So what we did was, last week we talked about this huge trending story, the university admission scandals, which is sad, but some people say not so unexpected, where rich people were paying up to millions of dollars, celebrities, financiers, these people, you know, that run in these circles, to get their kids in the college universities of their choices, whether it was paying off coaches to make them look like they were better sports people than they were, or that they have better academics than they were. And it brought us to the issue of helicopter parenting. And I know we're going to get to that, but you were bringing it, you were matching it all into this, what is it called, a platinum what?
A platinum rule. So we have two parents. You presented this last week, and we ran out of time.
Well, what I said was, if you have helicopter parents, and what if both don't agree?
Right.
Because that can be an issue because, you know, you and I are both Judeo-Christian.
Right.
The couple comes first. The child is the next one.
Right.
The people have to be a team. So I said, what do we do if we don't agree? Because human nature does want to put that kid first.
Right. Well, what if? How do two people, husband and wife, disagree? Mm-hmm. The golden rule says what? Treat others the way you would like to be treated.
Sure.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Mm-hmm. But doesn't always work.
Because one of us, like, I really probably think that I'm the one who's correct.
Ah, see.
Right? Is that
why do I
that's
not,
how all this
how
starts.
Do I guess that? So now, I am someone who likes to be collaborative and likes to include people and wants to, come on, we can all do this. Let's have fun doing this. No, just get it done.
See, now that's how I am too. I'm more like you.
Okay.
But there are people out there that just their way or the highway.
Right. So the platinum rule says treat others the way they want to be treated.
Okay.
For example, you say, no, look, we are not going to pay that Coach, are you crazy? It's against the law. No, no, no. I talked to a lot of my friends, and there's a way to do it, and we can figure this out.
Everybody's doing it.
Everyone's doing it. This will be great for a kid. And you say, there's no way. Now, the question is, how do we resolve it? Mm-hmm. There are two kinds of couples. There are masters, and then there are disasters. Okay?
Sounds about right.
Right. The disasters turn away from each other. They're critical. They have contempt for each other. I can't stand you. They stonewall. You know, I'm not talking about this anymore. I'm just going to go do it. Or they're very defensive. You're making me do this. They're very defensive. So couples who are turning away from each other, who don't have compassion, who can't say, look, I understand you like to make your decisions this way. I respect that. I make my decision this way. Is there a consensus we can come to? Meaning, in very simple terms, you want Italian food for dinner, I want Greek food.
Oh,
so okay.
I would say get both.
Well, that's consensus. That's the third. Let's get both. But how about if I say, okay, I'm not going to eat Italian, you're not going to eat Greek. How about if we go for seafood? How does this couple deal with this issue? Should we pay this coach? Yes, no. That means someone's going to give in and lose. Ultimately, the kid, as we've said.
And both parents might not know that the other parent paid to have that done, as the child might not have known. You suppose that the child does know because you suppose they have been raised that way their whole lives,
right.
Which
I
you're probably
that.
Correct.
I believe that. But how does this couple solve the problem? So one, compassion. Two, cures. So, Amy, tell me a little bit more about how, you know, why do you see it the way you see it? I want to understand it. No way. Mm-hmm. Couples who cannot respect the other person's language, who can't respect the fact that we perceive the world differently. I think it's okay. You don't. Couple was talking about getting tutoring for a child. We're not getting a tutor. He doesn't need a tutor. Yes, he does. No, he does. Wait a minute. How about if we look for some other position who can help the two of you come to a decision? It's not that you're wrong, no, you're wrong. Real quickly, also, another great example I use with couples a lot, tennis ball. I want the ball to go flat across the net. I take the racket back and I go whoosh, and the ball goes 27 feet in the air. Try it again, 18 feet in the air. Guess what? I'm gonna go find another can of tennis balls now. My tennis coach comes walking by, he says, 300 balls on the other side of the net. He says, Michael, what are you trying to do? I'm looking for a can of tennis balls that will go flat across the net. He says, no. The platinum rule. Change yourself first. Give the ball a different angle to bounce off of, and then the ball will bounce differently.
If all those balls have disagreed with you, you might be the problem.
Maybe the way I speak to my wife, the way she speaks to me.
Okay, so this takes me back to something. You hear this when you go to, say, they say, well, before you marry, go to couples counseling. Find out how you fight. How do you want to raise kids? How do you want to spend Christmas? All these things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't figure that out ahead of time, then you are going to come against these difficulties, right?
Right, exactly. If you don't understand the personality style of your spouse. Now, the fact of the matter is, we do understand, but do we accept? Because what we strive for is unconditional acceptance. Look, I accept that your style is, let's just get it done. I accept that. I don't agree with it. How can we work through this? Can I see the value in your style sometimes? Sometimes your decisiveness is really valuable to us. So what I see in couples who don't resolve this, the disasters, not the masters, but the disasters, is they pay a very steep price. And the kids feel it, and they are never, ever really satisfied. They're always turning away. They're always critical. They have contempt for each other.
What's the big difference between the masters and the disasters? Because I feel like there's all kinds of complex things that can go into it. You don't want people who make snap decisions and they agree and then later on they say, well, this might not have been the best course. Is it just about having that just very good wisdom ahead of time, maybe following these biblical values?
Oh, well, I think a lot of it is that. And we could do a whole 3 hours on
that. Okay, there's next week for
but,
you, Doc.
But the fact is, I think that when it comes to couples, it's about being willing to be influenced by your spouse. Are you willing to be influenced by your husband, and is he willing to be influenced by you? If that's the case, Whatever the decision is, it's going to be our decision. Mm. What does the Bible say? You leave your father and mother.
Cleave to your spouse.
There's no space. You cleave. We're one flesh.
Right.
Doctor says, why are you here? The husband says, we're here because my wife's foot hurts us.
And another one, love and respect. There was a whole book that a minister wrote on love and respect, because the Bible in the New Testament says, husbands, love your wives, because women need that love. Wives, respect your husbands, because husbands need that love.
Right.
And there's a lot more that goes into it, but those basic tenets are a very good foundation.
Right. So if you're willing to be influenced by your spouse, doesn't mean, okay, we'll just do it your way. No, that's not going
to
result.
No one wants to feel like they're railroaded.
Right. So when we understand these personality styles that people have, and it comes down to four questions, which we should get to.
Let's get to those, and we've got another segment. We'll see if we can get to them all in the next segment.
We're
going to figure out everyone's marriage,
yes,
right?
Okay. Exactly.
Dr. Micah Mantel, author of The Link Is What You Think, and we're back after this with The Doc. Sometimes better marriages just equals better problem solving, right? And if we can sort of release our stubbornness, it can go a very long way. We are here with Dr. Michael Mantel for this segment. Author of The Link Is What You Think and Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff. And then one more about workplace, right, doctor?
Yes, workplace violence. Ticking bombs, it's called. Diffusing violence in the workplace.
Well, we could all use to diffuse our own time bombs. But
that's for sure.
We were talking about this college admissions scandal. Sorry about the mouse dropping on the floor. And parents who try to go the extra mile, maybe way too far, to get their kids to bend life in the kids' favor rather than preparing kids for life.
Right.
And then the big question, we talked about this last week, but the question this week is, what do we do if the parents don't agree?
Right.
Because they need to become one and take care of that kid, and the kid needs to see them as a united front. So as a cognitive behavioral coach known all over the world, I really wanted to ask you about this.
Well, first of all, let's understand, it's imperative to understand that we all have styles, and our behavior styles reflect and impact the way we communicate. If we don't understand the style of the person we are relating to, mm-hmm. we can't connect. So I have four simple questions that I want to show people. And this is how to quickly read people.
Oh, this is probably good for anybody.
For anybody. Is the person more outgoing and fast-paced, or are they more reserved and slow-paced? Are they more task-oriented, or are they more people-oriented, okay? So again, outgoing and fast, or reserved and slow, or task-focused, or people-oriented.
Are these all mutually exclusive, or do they sort of go along?
Well, they're basic. Let's say they're mutually exclusive.
Okay.
Look at the next slide, and this opens the whole thing up. Oh. This is called the DISC, D-I-S-C, and it was developed by a Harvard psychologist and attorney who worked on the polygraph and also helped develop Wonder Woman. His name is William Marston. Did it back in the 50s at Harvard. So
polygraph to Wonder Woman. I just have to look that up later.
Fabulous.
That's
M-A-R-S-T-O-N. He says that there are four different styles of people. So you have outgoing or reserved, very task-focused or people. Now, immediately you're thinking, okay, so Michael, Dr. Mantel, I know where he sits. And I'm thinking, I know where Amy sits. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the dominant person, the goal-driven, direct, competitive person. Just do it. These are problem solvers. They're decisive people. The influenced person, they're people. They love to talk and just have fun. And go back. There we go. The steady person, someone who's very dominant, just decided we're going to move forward. The steady person.
That's what we do in TV.
Stable, dependable, conservative, loyal. Let's do it together. And then the compliant person. Just hold on to this slide. I want to give you a real life example.
Now, those compliant people can really be doormats, the ones that we hear about that
get into
toxic relations because they can't stand up to people who are way, way, way too dominant.
And they're also very, very exacting. So let's think about this. The dominant person goes up to a busy elevator, lots of people standing around, presses the button, the door opens, he or she just gets in and goes. That's the D. Mm-hmm. The I says, wait a minute, there's room for lots of us. Let's all get in. Come on, let's squeeze into the elevator. the S is like, oh no, which do I do? I move from this elevator to that one. I'm not sure. I don't want to do it wrong. I want to be steady and very conservative.
Oh boy,
and the C,
steady people.
I love the C. Gets on the elevator, looks up, says 650-pound max. Uh-oh. We're going to have to wage person here. Okay, think about the way the D goes to the movie. He arrives 10 minutes late, boom, gets in, walks through the aisle, sits in the middle. The I is like, you know, we're going to go in a group, we're going to clap, and everyone's going to cheer. The S is like thinking about, I got to get there early, I want to watch all the credits. And the cautious person has read every review there is before he or she goes to the
movie. We all know these people.
Absolutely.
It's amazing you've broken it down
all right,
like
let's
that.
Go back to the next slide real quickly. How do you talk to these people? If you're going to talk to a dominant-style person, don't talk about your family. Oh, hey, how is everything going?
No small talk.
The
enough.
D goes up to the coffee line and says, I want a this coffee, that coffee. And instead of the I comes up and says, hey, how are you? And before they order, they're spending 10 minutes talking about their family. The platinum rule says, understand, you have to talk to people the way their personalities are. So let's go back to that D again just for a moment and look at this, and you'll see, be direct. Provide alternatives so that he or she can decide, honey, what do you want to do? We can do this, this, or this. Which would be best? No emotion, just outcome. What if you're talking to an I? Let's look at the next slide. Be friendly, have fun, speak about family, friends. Don't get into the facts right away. What about the S? Slow down. Stories. I don't want to hear facts. Don't give me numbers. I want to hear stories of no confrontation, indirectly. We're going to talk nicely, collaboratively, like that. And then the C, we're going to talk very factually. No feelings, just thoughts. We're going to not talk about personal issues. When you get this, okay, we're done with this. When you
get... but when you have these people, I think the older you get, you realize you come upon people. And when we get to that place where we can mirror and see what people are and talk on their level, like if you can tell right away someone doesn't want small talk, you get right to it. And you can get more things done. It's amazing that you've broken that down so splendidly.
I promise you. You can tell as next time you go into a restaurant whether this person walking in is a D, I, S, or C. And you'll know immediately. If you're a waiter or waitress, you want to be trained in how to talk to that person. Yeah. So the D says, okay, I'm going to have this, this, and this. The I says, hi, how are you? Were you here last time I was here? And
yeah.
You need to be able to do that. Husbands and wives,
huge.
If we don't read each other's style, we can't change it. We can change ourselves.
And you better know that style before you say I do, perhaps. You have to have
And you
these...
better know how to ask the question in a way that speaks their his or her language. If he's asking, if she's a D, he's not going to say, I got the greatest idea. Let's get to the point.
Get to the point, buddy.
Will you marry me? And for whether it's a first date or a business, we train business people, business leaders, to be able to read the people that they are talking with. In an HR position, you have to know how you're going to admonish somebody in a way that they can hear it. Mm. Change yourself. Don't be a reactor, be a responder. Stop for a minute and say, she's not interested in small talk, or she really is interested in small talk. That's not my style, but I'm here for her. I need to speak her language.
That is so interesting. DrMichaelMontel.com is where you can find him. Find him on social media. Got 20 seconds, but do you want to give the final? It's a platinum what you call it.
The
I love
platinum
this.
Platinum rule. Speak to people the way they want to be spoken to, not the way you want to be spoken to.
And if you want to get ahead in life, career, love with your children, you'll pay more attention to that if it's
Absolutely.
Really important, if you've got the capability.
And we all do. We all do. We have the capability.
If they listen to you and follow your constructs, I think so. The link is What You Think is his latest book, and you can find him again, DrMichaelMontel.com. Back after this with America Trends. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a someone. Thank you.
Andy.
It is simply why God created the internet, so we could see pet videos from people like the Pet Collective that assemble the best from the month. People on YouTube America, our YouTube America network saw that. And BizTalk Radio, we invite you too to come see us on the YouTubeAmerica.com page. You can see our past shows, click through, see some of what we're doing on social media. We are on Facebook, we are on Twitter, we are on Instagram, and we would love to connect with you on any or all of those platforms and talk about what matters to you. And again, see our past podcast and shows. Thank you so much to our guest for tonight, Dr. Paul Brown, former congressman from 07 to 15 in the U.S. House of Representatives from Georgia. He talked about the Stand with Tucker Coalition, where you can go and support Tucker's free speech, and also the huge crisis at the border wall, getting worse and worse every day. We hear this, it becomes like static in our ears because it's all we hear about, but it really is an extreme emergency, and Border Patrol is trying to get somebody to listen, so we like to report that to you. Dr. Michael Mantel, he is the author of The Link is What You Think and Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, P.S. It's All Small Stuff, talking about helicopter parenting and how to have good communication values. Finally, a brand new movie from Netflix. It is called The Perfect Date, coming in April. It looks like something you might want to put in your queue, so take a look as we say goodbye for now.
I've always wanted to date the most popular girl, drive the nicest car, and go to the fanciest school.
Yale is the goal, correct?
More than anything in the world. But I can't afford any of that.
My uncle's paying me to escort my cousin to a semi-formal.
I'll take your cousin.
What?
I'll take your cousin to the dance.
Why? What would you get out of it?
I'd get the payment you were talking about, and I get to take your car.
You got a suit?
You're getting paid to take a girl on a date.
Did you know that Michelle Obama got paid to go on a date with Barack? And look how great that turned out.
Is that true?
I don't know.
But it could be true.
And that is my point. Big black boots on the feet. Good evening.
Let's do this so we can stop doing this. We don't care what
you say. I happen to think that you and I can have a really good time tonight.
You have clearly never been to my high school.
Let's go shred some hardwood.
No. Is this your job?
No.
Should be. Troubled rich girls in need of a chaperone. It could be big business here.
I figured out how to get the money I need to go to Yale. I'm offering my services as a chaperone for whatever it is that girls want.
Hey.
Oh my God, you didn't.
Oh, but I did.
Every date would be custom built. They could pick my personality, my interests, whether I'm a listener or a talker.
What's the weirdest thus far?
I had to listen to this girl talk for 4 hours straight. All I was allowed to say was, there is no other way to see it.
Oh my God, that is the perfect date.
There's no other way to see it. Can you imagine if I get enough money to get into Yale and date Shelby?
Hey.
That'd be my dream come true. I'll tell
you
a story.
You're just waiting for people to accept you instead of accepting yourself.
You act so tough. It's just an act.
We used to spend time together.
But I guess you'd have your new rich friends.
Whoa. I don't know which version of myself I'm supposed to be.
Wow, she's a really bad dancer.
Yeah, she's the worst.
I've been so many people these past few months. A cowboy, an art connoisseur, and a bad friend.